Heavenly Father, that night was divine because you are divine. You are beautiful. You are glorious. You are everything. And Lord, now as we open up your word, I ask you to open up our minds and our hearts to it. I ask you to speak to us this morning. We just pray this in your name. Amen.
Right.
All right. Well, you know, as the shepherd, I have been here multiple times speaking at this church. And I've always shared with you about my grandfather and that night at the Bethlehem. And I was just a lad at the time, around 10 years old. And I've told you that story on multiple occasions. And I praise God that all of you here understand the meaning of that night and the meaning of the birth of Jesus. So today I felt led not to go over the story one more time for you, because I'm sure all of you know the story quite well at this point. But the Lord put it on my heart to share with you about being a shepherd and what that means. You know, Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. I'd like to read you that in John chapter 10. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. You see, Jesus is claiming to be the Good Shepherd. He is claiming ownership over all. He is claiming ownership over us. And the Bible says that all things were created through him. And as he owns all, he's the one who truly cares for the sheep. Only Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Him saying this to the Jewish people in the day was no accident. Was not just a good name he picked. Because there was a psalm, a very, very important psalm that he was directly connecting himself to. So the Jewish people, and eventually all people, would understand who he is. And that psalm I'm talking about is Psalm 23. Now, this psalm is a famous psalm, probably the most famous psalm in the whole world. You hear it many times at funerals. But this psalm is not about death. This psalm is about life. It's about the life we can live here in this world if we walk with Jesus Christ. With Christ, this psalm can be our life. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's saying in this psalm, the Lord. David is writing this, but saying the Lord is my shepherd. He's going to take care of me. Every need, he's with me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And if I have the Lord, I need nothing else. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort. There's four things that David points out about the Good Shepherd. Four things. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And then he leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now, as a shepherd, I understand exactly what this psalm is talking about. We take our sheep to green pastures so that they can feed and they can get the nourishment that they need so they grow healthy. And then, I don't know if you know this about sheep will not approach fast-moving water. It scares them. It scares them to the point that they'll dehydrate and die. So you have to lead them to waters that are calm or moving very gently. Then they'll drink. Here, for the believer, for what David is saying here, is that God is our nourishment. We go to Him. He takes us to places where we can feast on His Word. Jesus said it Himself, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The Word of God is nutrition for the soul. And the still waters, the water is just, the Bible is described as the living water, being washed by the water of the Word of God. Here, David understands the shepherd wants him to grow and mature healthy in the faith. But then it says this, He restores my soul. How many of you have ever been hurt in this world? Yeah. Sometimes it's from our own bad mistakes and choices, and sometimes it's others, but we end up doing a lot of things that we wish we had never done. There's pains that sometimes are so deep it just seems to tug at the heart and the soul. Christ again said He was the one that can heal the brokenhearted. No one else in human history ever made that statement. Here, the Word of God, when we come, usually we come to Christ. We're not righteous because there's none righteous, no, not one. We come to Christ and we're usually broken. Our sin has brought havoc into our lives. And we're broken people. As we take in the Word, as we allow God to minister to us, He restores the soul. We find out that we do have meaning and purpose. That we have value. Then He leads us on the path of righteousness. He shows us which path to take. Shepherds, we always guide our sheep. That's what this staff is for. To help guide. Shows us a better way of living our lives according to His ways, His standards. But look what it says. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Why do we walk those paths? Yes, it's a big benefit for us, but we walk for Him. We walk those paths to honor Him, to glorify Him. Because He is our King. He is our Master. He's our Lord. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, this is how we know this psalm is not talking about dying and going into heaven. Is there any evil in heaven? Do we have any enemies in heaven? Is death in heaven? No. This is talking about walking through this life. The shadow of death is over everything. When you get into your automobiles, hopefully you click your seatbelt, right? Or Trevor will come give you a ticket. But you click it not because of the ticket. You click it because a car accident could happen. And you could die. And that little seatbelt might save your life. Something we do every day. The shadow of death hangs over. You're in a pandemic right now. You're wearing masks because of a virus. The shadow of death hangs over everything we do. But as believers in Jesus Christ, with Jesus as our good shepherd, we fear no evil as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death. It says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff are tools of the shepherd. There was a lot of wild animals in those days in Israel, and wolves and stuff, and they would come after the sheep. And sheep cannot defend themselves, so the shepherd was called. And the shepherd wanted to because those sheep were his life. Sheep were everything to the shepherd. And so we had rods, something similar to this. Just a wooden stick that we'd have to beat off the predators with. Hey, Rich, if you want to act like a wolf, I can demonstrate. No? I tried. But you have to be pretty close to the predator. Now, some shepherds had slings. They'd put rocks in and they would learn to sling and hit the predators far off. I was never real good with a sling. David was. David was a shepherd. The other tool of the trade is what we call the shepherd's staff. This is unique to shepherds. It's not used with any other animals. This is a staff. It's a walking stick for the shepherd. It's also a way to guide the sheep. But it's also a way to rescue the sheep. They fall into a pit. You can reach down and you can hook them under their belly and lift them up. The Bible says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, our good shepherd is ready there to defend us, to protect us. He's there to guide us and rescue us when we need it. Because the good shepherd is there for us, we fear nothing. Because nothing is greater than our shepherd. Nothing in this world is greater than our shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 5. In the midst of our enemies, in the midst of this world where there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope, only uncertainty and much fear, in the midst of this, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. To prepare a table means to be able to be at ease in this life. Not worrying what's going to happen tomorrow. For whatever happens tomorrow, the Lord will be with you. It's about understanding that there is an enemy out there. And the enemy might be able once in a while to hurt the body, but can never, ever hurt the soul. No matter what happens in this life, our shepherd is with us. No matter what goes on in our lives, our health, our finances, we have the shepherd. Some of the poorest times in my life, and this is speaking from the heart, have been the best times with the Lord. I know in this world people say you need to seek the material things. The material things is what's going to make you happy. Financial security is what's going to make you happy. Many times it just brings more grief. What really brings the joy, the peace, is a relationship with the shepherd. To fully understand, not just know it, but to believe it in the heart, to live this relationship, knowing he's there to protect you, to guide you, to comfort you, to sit down and commune with you, even while the enemy is all around, knowing that all the days of your life are secure in him. And then one fine day when that life comes to an end, the soul lives on, and you will definitely live in the house of the Lord forever. It's a beautiful psalm. Jewish people knew it well. So when Jesus came on the scene calling himself the Good Shepherd, he was directly connecting himself to this. Who is the shepherd in the psalm? The Lord, God to the Jewish people. So Jesus was saying he was the Good Shepherd. What is he saying there? He is God. John 10, verse 14, he repeats, I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus here is telling that he's going to lay his life down for the sheep. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant of Israel. All we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. In my time in Jerusalem, if the shepherd was a good shepherd, he was expected to die for his flock, if need be, to protect his family's source of income. Here, Jesus clearly says he's laying down his life. This is very interesting. Verse 16. As he talked to the Jewish people, as they were his sheep, he said in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Who are these other sheep? That's right. Even then, God, Jesus Christ, was thinking of you. You. Because he knew you before the foundations of the world. That's comforting. That's what David is talking about in Psalms 23. Understanding the greatness of our God. That he knew you before the foundations of the world. Here, he spoke of you. Our God knows all. And at the same time, he says, I will always be with you. You can trust in that. Hear my voice, and there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Think back for a moment to the moment of your rebirth. The moment you were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you were born again. Think back to that moment. You heard his voice. You heard the truth. And it rang clear in your mind and in your heart. It may have been through a pastor, or show on the radio or TV, or a friend or a parent, but Jesus Christ was speaking to you. And you heard his voice. And you did not reject. You humbled yourself and received the Good Shepherd. One more thing I'd like to show you in John 10. Go down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Here's something I really felt I needed to delve a little deeper into. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. It's very important for a shepherd for the sheep to follow the shepherd. Because the shepherd cares for them. The shepherd is the one that's going to lead them to the green pastures. The shepherd is going to lead them to the quiet, still waters. The shepherd is the one who's going to protect them and look over them. And here, Jesus says, my sheep, the ones who will believe in me, they will follow me. And there's the key. It's so important to understand what I'm about to share. Jesus, throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, called people to follow him. Not just here, but in multiple places, multiple times, to follow him. You see, that's how you know a sheep is really a sheep. Because there's goats among the sheep, and the goats don't follow. That's why one day when he returns, and that might be very soon, Jesus said, I will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep will be on his right hand, the goats on the left. The sheep will enter into the joy of their Lord, the goats into eternal damnation. So it's very important for a person to know if they're a true sheep. See, that's what the enemy has done so well in the world, is to deceive people. So many are deceived right now from just understanding the simple meaning of the baby born in Bethlehem. They're blinded to it. But there's also people blinded to the aspect that they think they're a sheep, and they're not. And I'm not saying that's you in here today. It could be. But where I felt led to share this today was for you, because I know many of you know family members, friends, who think they're sheep, and they're not. When Jesus came, even though it's a wonderful holiday and season to celebrate the birth, there's much joy in it. But the reality is, he came to do what? To die for the sins of the world. That's why he entered into this world in human flesh. It's important. It's serious. This is as serious as you can get. The sheep must follow. That's how you know they're sheep. What does it mean to follow Christ? Well, there's many passages I could have chose from, but I'm going to choose from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Verse 34. This is the words of Jesus. Listen. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Wait a minute. Didn't the angel sing, peace on earth, goodwill towards men? Jesus says, I didn't come to bring peace. What is he talking about? Verse 35. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. What is Jesus saying here? He's laying out clearly what it means to follow Christ. The dearest relationships we have in this world is with our families. It's the closest bond. And here Jesus is saying, you must love me more. It's a hard saying. He's not saying that you hate them. You love them less. But the love for him should be so great that if you compared the love for him to the love for your family, the comparison should make it look almost as if you hated your family, comparing the two love. Many people have a hard time with this saying. But a sheep will follow. A sheep will obey. You see, when he said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, he knew, revealing the truth about himself, who he was, God incarnate, would be too much for some. He knew telling people to repent of their sins, turn from them, would be too much for some. He knew that calling people to the paths of righteousness for his namesake will be too much for some. He knew asking them to sacrifice their lives by picking up their cross and following him would be too much for some. He knew that families would be divided over him. And here's where it gets very hard for us. We know people who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, but they don't want to follow Christ. They don't want to talk about him. They don't want to pray with you. They don't want to talk about the Word. They don't want to come to church. But they claim to follow Jesus Christ. They claim to be a sheep. And because we don't want to lose the relationship, or we don't want the holidays strained or family time strained, we just kind of tiptoe around what we know is not right. We don't want to offend them. We don't want them to be mad at us. But we know they're living in deception. Because Jesus said, if you're my sheep, you'll follow, you'll obey. You'll seek. And when people claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, but they don't seek the shepherd, they're only proving themselves to be false. Jesus says, my sheep will obey. And here, Christian, where it might get tough during the holidays, but any time of the year, you who know the truth must share the truth. And this could make enemies of your own household. But you are to love God and love the truth more than that. And let me ask you, if you don't share with your friends, neighbors, your loved ones, and you let them stay in deception thinking they are sheep, and Jesus warned about this many times, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You see, what people have done is created their own relationship with God. They've set their own standards and rules. And religion has taught us that as long as they grow up in church, or they used to believe and used to go to church, they said a sinner's prayer sometime, they were baptized, they're good to go, even though today they don't have any signs of a true believer. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to be in church. They don't want to be around other Christians. They don't want to pray with you, and they don't want to read the Word. Folks, those are symbols and signs of a goat, not a sheep. If you truly love them, you must, in love, share this with them at the risk of them becoming hostile towards you. It's better for them to hear now than to hear the Lord say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." You see, Christmas is about a choice God was giving the world. Here's the choice, my son, believe in Him, follow Him, or not. And you can't make up your own way of following Him. You can't have the world and have Christ too. It doesn't work. Here's another sign. He who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The cross is a symbol of death, sacrifice, complete sacrifice. And we're to pick up our cross and carry it and follow Him. A true sheep, a true believer, their life becomes Jesus Christ. Every aspect of your life becomes a way to honor and submit to the One who died for you. To allow the Good Shepherd to lead every aspect of your life. Not just your religious part. Not just on Sundays. Not just during the holidays. But every day of your life. Every aspect of your life. How do you know you're a true sheep? Because you desire to pick up your cross and follow the Good Shepherd. Your life is no longer about what you want to do. It's about seeking what Christ wants you to do, to honor Him in everything you do. Now, none of us are perfect at this, but this is what we desire. This is what the Holy Spirit brings into the life of a true sheep. Religion cannot bring this. And so maybe someone in here today needs to hear this. Maybe someone you know needs to hear this, and you need to share it with them. But listen. Do not fool yourselves. Do not be deceived, as the Scriptures say. Do not deceive yourself. If you do not have these desires to follow the Shepherd, to honor the Shepherd, to obey the Shepherd, to seek the Shepherd, how do you know you're a sheep? The Scripture says you're not. You're in deception. He who finds his life will lose it. Those who seek after what they want and they fulfill the dreams and desires of their own hearts and they go after everything they want to do are going to lose their life in the end. Because their Lord was themselves. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Let's go back to John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, the next verse, verse 31. "Then the Jews who heard Jesus say this stuff, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?' The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." You know, you always hear people say, Jesus never claimed to be God. They're either ignorant or they're lying when they say that. The Jews understood exactly what Jesus is talking about. Exactly when he says, "I am the good shepherd," they knew he was talking Psalms 23. He says, "I and the Father are one." They understood he was saying he was God. And here they wanted to stone him. The rejection of Jesus Christ. That's the choice again, remember? The babe being born, God was saying, "All right, here's your choice. My son or not." And the Jews of my day rejected their good shepherd. Let me show you what's going to happen because of my people's rejection of their good shepherd. In the book of Zechariah, written 500 years before Christ, Zechariah 13, there's a prophecy. 500 years before Jesus. Verse 7. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts, God the Father. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter." God's plan the entire time was Isaiah 53, Psalms 22, Genesis chapter 3, the death of the shepherd for the sheep. And here God says, "Strike the shepherd." When the shepherd was struck, as Jesus warned them, warned his disciples, that they'd be scattered. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones, the ones who have rejected the shepherd. Verse 8. First part of this prophecy came true with Jesus. Here's the second part. This is their second return. This is the return of Jesus Christ. This is the tribulation period. Verse 8. "And it shall come to pass in all the land, says the Lord, that 2/3 in it shall be cut off and die, but 1/3 shall be left in it. I will bring the 1/3 through the fire. Will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, 'This is my people.' And each one will say, 'The Lord is my God.'" What this passage is talking about is the 7-year tribulation period. Because of their rejection of their true shepherd, they're going to suffer through the tribulation period. They're going to accept the false shepherd. And in their rejection of the true shepherd, as they go through the tribulation period, 2/3 of the Jewish people in Israel today will die. Rejection of Jesus Christ is nothing to dismiss. Living in deception that you're a true believer is nothing to dismiss. Nothing to overlook. The rejection of the Jewish people is going to lead to 2/3 of them dying. Only 1/3 will be saved. Think there's 7 million Jews in Israel right now? Rejection of the shepherd is serious. Those that you may know, or maybe someone in here, who's claiming to be a sheep, a follower of Christ, but your life does not reflect Christ. You will not be saved. There's a gift. There's a free gift of eternal life for all. And you will not receive it. You know, this last year, I know there has not been a lot of hope. A lot of fear out there. A lot of uncertainty. But those who have their shepherd have walked this year in much better condition than most in this world. You know, I love that Christmas comes at the end of the year. Because no matter what's gone on that year, we end it with the hope. And that begins the new year with the hope. The greatest gift you, as God's sheep, can give anyone in this life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift you can give them. It's to share the truth. The last part of the gospel is this born again moment where you are made into a new creation and you obey the shepherd. You seek the shepherd. It's the greatest gift you can give anybody. And if they receive that gift from you, the gospel, and believe, then they receive the greatest gift ever. And that is Jesus Christ Himself and eternal life. But it starts with you. They're going to hear the voice of the shepherd through you as you share the gospel. The greatest gift ever given to us, because it takes us to Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power to make us true sheep. But remember the words of Jesus. My sheep, follow me. Not just attend church, not just claim to be a believer, but you seek and follow the Master through the ways that He's given us to do. Prayer, the Word of God, church fellowship, all these things. If that's not you, don't let yourself be deceived. True sheep, follow and seek. As we close, go to the last slide. Gospel of Jesus Christ. I talked to John before I came down here. John said, you guys did pretty good sharing the gospel, quoting the verses. I would love to hear them. Maybe someone in here right now needs to hear them from you. Romans 3:23. Okay. Romans 6:23. Outstanding. I got it. You guys, someone with a head, but it's good. All right, here comes a bigger one. John 3:16 and 17. All right, good. I heard it in there. Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. God commanded His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. All right? Good. John 14:8. Oh, I'm sorry, 6. All right. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. Good. Now, Mark, Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace we've been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, here's the toughie. Romans 10:9-10, and verse 13. All right, pretty close, but you got one, you got turned around. For with the mouth, if you confess the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Mark 1:15. Repent and believe the gospel. And John 3:8. If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. It's the gospel, folks. You know, a young man came in to the church this week. I don't know, is Brian here? Brian, are you here? Now you probably won't say. Okay. Came in today, came into the church. He didn't really know why he was here. He just felt he needed to stop in. And he came up and he stuck his old business card in the door and he started to walk away. And Lisa was in the office and she noticed the movement on camera and everything. And she usually, like she said, she'd probably let people, you know, walk away if they don't come in and ring the doorbell and went in. But she felt she needed to get up and chase him down. So she got up and chased him down and said, we're here. We're open. And he came in and he sat down. She was able just to talk with him and then turn the conversation to her testimony of Jesus Christ. Pulled him in. He wanted to hear more. So I was able to talk with him, and I shared the gospel with him. He's seeking. There are many like him. They're seeking. And there's a gift. And it starts with the baby in the manger. But it's explained through the gospel. The complete gospel. Where if you confess the Lord Jesus, your owner, your master, He's your shepherd. And if you have an owner, master, you follow the shepherd. You follow and obey the master. That's how you know. Folks, we have everything we need to help people find God. Will we apply ourselves to know the Scripture and to share it? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. When we get raptured, when we go home, the only thing that's going to matter is who we shared the gospel with. Nothing else. If you have loved ones this holiday season that you need to have that hard conversation with in love and with much patience? You need to have it. Don't let them be deceived by Christian religion that comes straight from the pit of hell. They must be born again. How do they know they're born again? Because they're a sheep that wants to follow the Good Shepherd. That's what Christmas is all about, folks. The one who was born to die for the sins of the world. Let's sing about that. Father. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the babe born in Bethlehem. Lord, that you came and put on human flesh to connect with us so that you could be our high priest. Not a high priest that was distant, but a high priest who could understand and we could connect with. Lord, you came to be our good shepherd, to protect us, to guide us, to comfort us, to save us. Lord, we praise you for your grace and your mercy. We praise you for your love. We praise you for the greatest gift any person could ever receive. Lord, we lift up our loved ones. We lift up our friends and our neighbors and the ones that we care about who do not know you. I pray, Lord, that you give us courage and fortitude to reach out in love and share with them the hard truths. Lord, I pray for those who are especially deceived by religion, that they're okay with you when they're not, and that you'll give us boldness and wisdom in talking with them, and give us a spirit of your spirit, Lord, of love when we talk to them, not to offend, not to hurt their feelings, Lord, but. And I ask you to go before us in all those encounters and prepare the hearts of those that we need to share. That they'll have ears to hear and hearts to receive. Lord, we pray that this Christmas season we'll see many lost souls come to Christ. Because your people, your sheep who follow you, have been obedient, and we have been salt, and we have been light, and we have testified as your witnesses, and we let people know what the baby in the manger is all about. Because, Lord, you are the reason for the season. We praise you, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you have saved us, and that we today do not live in ignorance of the truth. But now, Lord, I ask you to help us to live the truth and to share the truth. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a merry, merry Christmas if I don't see you on Christmas Eve. Joy the Lord. Embrace the meaning. Don't let the materialism and all the traditions get too much. And if you can, share the truth with someone. God bless. Let's break. 3, 2, 1, break. Let's go.